Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
About moving into this next segment of studies where God has spoken that it's time for us to get really down and deep into the heart of the matter. The subject of sexuality for the Christian believers, for married couples who have come together now as one in Christ, that we should be experiencing a joy and excitement that the world know not of. So, as usual, we invite you in this evening to be a part of our study tonight. Tonight is going to be somewhat different in that to lay the foundation for this particular series of studies. We like to go through a process of establishing some foundation, hearing a powerful testimony from a guest couple who we've come to know and understand have found the joy that should be associated with sexuality and Christian marriage. And as usual, to get this started off right, I've asked my partner, my sister in Christ, my co-worker, my confidant, and my lover to lead us off with a word of prayer, inviting in the Holy Spirit.
Well, good morning, Jesse, or good evening, Jesse. Good evening to our listening audience. I just want to come thanking God once again for this day and this opportunity as we come together, allowing him to use each and every one of us in a mighty way, whether it be that we receive a word from him through one of his vessels on the radio blog talk on this evening, or whether it be an individual sharing their story and we're being blessed by them. Father God, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to just invite you in to be with us this evening. We thank you once again for the words of wisdom that will flow out of Jesse's mouth tonight, Father, as we go through another series, Father, as we start a new series on sexuality and Christian marriages, Father. We ask that a word will be spoken, Father, as we continue to learn and study to show ourselves approved, Father, that we will understand how important, Father, this particular area of our life is in our marriages. I thank you, Father God, that you will bless and anoint every ear that is under the sound of our voice on this evening, that they will take away a word from you, Father, and that, Father, this area of their life will, Father, be enlightened through the words, Father, that you will allow them to hear on this evening. Go and be with us, Father, until we have an opportunity to see you face to face. We love you and we thank you, and we just continue to just invite you, Holy Spirit, to always walk with us and be with us, as you indwell with us each and every day. In Jesus' most holy name, I pray this prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We praise God. We thank you once again, my queen. Brothers and sisters, I want to be the first to admit that this subject is a very sensitive, complicated, and complex dialogue. It's one of those situations that, quite honestly, we most of the time simply leave at a very high level. We never attempt to get down into the details associated with sexuality. For whatever reason, it's one of those subjects that we never seem to be comfortable getting into and into dialogue about. And even as we, earlier this year, went through the process of attempting to deal when we went through the fruit of the Spirit and we discussed things of a physical sense, we really never got down until to that level where men and women really meet in their effort to come together as one in Christ. And because of that lack of getting deep into that particular subject matter, we began to receive a number of inquiries and calls from people that led us to believe that truly then this must be a subject that we must begin to deal with. Personally, it was something that really surprised me when I began to hear from others, from believers, that they were not enjoying the act of sexual activity. And I'm speaking about believers in Christ. I'm speaking about couples that have been married for several years. And in some instances, it may have been couples who were recently married. But the common theme was that there appeared to be an inability for these couples to come together and enjoy sexual activity. And as we began to think about and meditate on this, it was not something that was easily understood. I'm a person myself that I've been essentially married all of my adult life, with the exception of a year. And it's not an area where I personally ever witnessed that I didn't like. It was not something that, for my own self, that I had been through a period of where it seemed to be something that would be unexciting, uninviting, something that I did not want a part of. So in my mind, I had to begin to really reflect and meditate on why was this beginning to happen? Why were we seeing these situations come to us? And I would say, even on a personal note, as I was going through my own situation of understanding and realizing that my body was changing, my energy levels in many ways were beginning to change and shape differently. And so what I did, really, before a lot of these things began to take place, I began to study. You know, what are the physical changes that we go through as men? You know, what are the things that we may be able to do that would allow us and help us make sure that we are doing those things necessary to take care of our ministry and the service we have to our spouse? And so I began to study, what is it? What changes in men primarily was my focus, because I wanted to make sure that I would stay on top of the things that I desire to do and things that I thought would be good for my marriage. And the first thing I began to do is I began to research this area. I began to see and understand more clearly what in many instances has been possibly driving this particular lack of enjoyment of sexual activity. And again, these are subjects that most of the time men and women, but especially men, are unwilling to talk about. They're very uncomfortable. Even though we know now that prostate cancer is the leading cause of death, especially in the African American community, so many have a difficult time just discussing, have you been to a doctor to get your PSA checked? Have you been checked to see that you don't have any prostate issues? Are you able to just urinate the way you urinated in the past? You know, are you able to hold yourself in terms of your bladder capabilities like you were in the past? For whatever reason, anything that deals with genitalia, anything that deals with the reproductive organs that God blessed us with, we have allowed ourselves to become captive and be part of a bondage mentality that continues to cause us to experience self-destruction. Because we are not willing to be transparent and be open enough to share with each other what we may be going through. Because someone may be going through a situation that's impacting and affecting his marriage, but he's afraid to reveal that to another person. Doesn't matter if it's a brother in Christ, a biological brother, a friend, or whatever. We are afraid to share one to each other, so we get to the point that we don't benefit from the experiences of other people. Because of that, I began to research, and the first thing I began to discover that it was indeed true that as we age, there's something that happens in our bodies, both for men and women. And as we age, we must become more knowledgeable on how to take care of the temple that God made available to us. And as I began to research this, it became very clear that my normal doctor, my medical doctor, may not have all of the perspective and all of the capability and experience that I would need in order to make sure I understood what was going on with my ability to maintain a strong sex drive, with my ability to maintain the things that I know over time that I love to do and love to be involved in, which is the act of making love to my wife. Let me be quite frank about it. So as I went, I discovered that I needed to get involvement with doctors that, quite honestly, they study this. They understand all of the physiological and mental and physical things that go into the actual process of a man and woman being able to achieve what we call orgasm. You know, what is it all about? How do we get there? How does it happen? What are all the variables and factors that are involved? And the very first thing I learned that I needed to do, I needed to go and get a profile of what my baseline was. Where did I fit within all of the studies that may have taken place that would determine, at least scientifically and based on blood chemistry, what would be my capability to perform according to the standardized research that had already taken place. So as I began to research that, I went and found a doctor. It was actually a couple, two doctors that were working together that had been studying this situation. And the very first thing that I was impressed about was when they said to me, well, there's nothing we can do for you until we have an understanding of what does your blood chemistry show. And I said, well, what do you mean about what does my blood chemistry show? They said, what we mean is we need to understand what kind of condition are you in? You know, where are your hormonal levels? Your testosterone, both free and total. Where are they? Because once we get an understanding of what is your baseline according to your age group, then we will be able to determine, gee, are there certain nutraceuticals that you would be able to begin to take that would improve some of your numbers, which then would have a correlating effect on what you may be able to see done in satisfying and ministering unto your wife. So I said, well, I mean, it's not like I'm coming that way. I'm with you. I just want to understand what's going on with me. And they said, well, that's fine, but we really can't do anything until we have that understanding. I must admit, initially I thought, well, they're trying to make some more money because I know what it costs typically to go and get blood work done. But I said, well, hey, if I'm going to go down this path, let me go down the path. And so I was quite shocked when I sent in, and they told me what it would be to get all of these panels of work that they would do that I had never had done before. And when they came back and the guy called me, I was also impressed with the fact that he took time and we went down each particular item one by one by one. And he took time to explain to me what was the importance of each. The one thing that really stuck out in that conversation was that when we got down to looking at those hormones, DHEA and testosterone, that determines the drive, the capability of men to make love, mine were on the low side of the range. As a matter of fact, they were low outside of the range. And so it was very interesting because he said to me, he said, well, gee, we know we're going to have to do something because you probably then are not having a lot of fun or a lot of activity probably in sex. And I said, well, that's not true. And he said, what do you mean that's not true? My thing is I want to be proactive. I don't want to wait until something happens. That's why I'm calling you in the first place. And he was like, well, you mean you right now, you actually are involved, you are active, you are able to actually make love to your wife? And I said, absolutely. And so his thing was, gee, well, based on the numbers, you know, it would have indicated that you wouldn't be able to. I said, well, that's not true. I'm able to. That's not an issue. Well, I knew right then that I just, thank God. I said, Father, I thank you once again that you prove and demonstrate and illustrate that when we have a desire to do a particular ministry, and I see it as a ministry to my wife, that we're able to do all things above and beyond that others may ever hope for, imagine, or dream. And so he said, well, that is very interesting. He said, but still then, let's then continue with your strategy, that if you want to get your levels up, here's what we can do. And so they began to prescribe a series of nutraceuticals, what they call pharmaceutical grade, to make sure you had consistent quality, and also vitamin D. I mean, so I went on some DHEA, some vitamin D, some other things that were supposed to naturally boost up my hormonal levels And by naturally boosting those hormonal levels, it would prevent me from dealing with some things that as men age that other men have to deal with that they don't deal with. And since they don't deal with, they get to the point to where they may not be able to do something. If they may not be able to do something, they begin to frustrate their wives. And as they begin to frustrate their wives, they begin to cause all kinds of issues to develop in their marriages. And so I thank God that I was willing to go and find this out. The other piece was that I went to my normal doctor, my medical doctor, and I shared with him this particular strategy. I said, look, I'm trying to stay ahead of what I know is going to be a reality in my life, that these things are going to happen. They're beyond my control. It's called aging. And I shared the blood work with him, and I shared with him what was going on. And he would say, wow, you know, people don't really normally do this. Normally they come in and I give them a shot, an injection. Well, I had studied that if you get injections, then you turn off your own natural ability to produce the hormones necessary to do what you need to do in the first place, because now you have synthetically began to tell the brain you don't need that productive capacity. I didn't want to go there. So long story short, as we began to monitor then, Three months later, those hormone levels, they started going up. They started rising. They started increasing. And now they're back up to the mid to high part of the range. And so I, you know, can tell that the whatever the changes had been in my body, I can tell now there are differences. There are changes where there was never a situation where I personally got to a point of having issues. I can now though see improvement, that God still was able to show that if you know what you're doing and you know what your body is going through and you monitor your blood chemistry, there are indeed strategies that could be deployed that would allow you to make sure you can minister to the physical needs of your spouse. Now some may ask, why go through sharing this background? Well, I think it's necessary. Because God has said that as we go through these series, we must get to the point even of transparency here. And the transparency that must take place is a transparency that's going to be necessary between the husband and the wife. It may be even right now as I'm speaking, there may be someone right now that they don't want to admit it, but they would be able to bring more satisfaction to their wife if they began to understand, where am I? Where are my hormonal levels? You know, have I been affected by some kind of medication that I'm on that's had an effect on my libido or my ability to perform and my role and responsibility as a minister to my wife, or as a wife, as a minister to my husband in this particular area? So I'm sharing this, my story, hopefully that others may be encouraged, that it's not an embarrassment. It's not a shame for us to have a desire to want to make sure we can bring pleasure to our spouse. That is not an embarrassment. We see now where more and more people are beginning to abuse even some of the current drugs that have been discovered and prescribed for those that may be suffering from what the world calls erectile dysfunction, the inability for a man to sustain that to the point of achievement. So we see now sports figures and a lot of folks are beginning to come on. So where once again, from a secular perspective, you know, we see things happen and we want to then do them in the dark instead of having the ability, if we are married together as husband and wives, that we are able to come together, share openly, and put together a strategy that would allow us to make sure we minister to the needs of each other. So that's what this series is going to be about, getting down to where, as they would say, the rubber meets the road, developing strategies that are consistent with the Word of God, based on the Word of God, but where you and I, husband and wife, men and women, coming together as one in Christ, are able to do those things that God ordained from the beginning. Well, my brothers and sisters, This is our foundation for tonight. That just as the word say to study to show yourself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, well, that applies to every area of our life. It applies to every area of the relationship that we have with our spouse. We want to be sold out to excellence. We want to be sold out to the idea that we are able to do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, and that our God satisfies all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And since we are created in the image of God, then God indeed wants us to optimize everything that he made available to us. We invite you to meditate on that, as we go to a break. Get you some iced tea and some lemonade, and just meditate on that, as we simply want to remind you that God made all of this, as my wife would say, he made it a good thing for us to enjoy as husband and wife. We'll be right back for the interview that you're going to enjoy. I know we're going to look forward to what Susan and Jeff Pitts are going to share with us about what they enjoy in their marital relationship and what their perspective is now in coming together as one in the area of sexual ministry. We'll be right back. Something about being in love, that when we're in love, something happens that, again, takes place inside of us. We understand that God is love, and we understand that God made available to us love. So we want to invite now Brother Jeff and Sister Susan Pitts to share with us. Well, I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I'm really excited about this particular part of our show tonight. We wanted to have a couple that Tammy and I have had an opportunity to be around, to watch, and just witness the love they have for each other, and also to just hear sometime the little things that married couples should be able to say about each other. And especially when it comes to this thing about sex. I mean, I love to say things to my wife that I know are going to kind of get next to her from a sensuous perspective and in anticipation of that time that we may enjoy later on in the day or later on in the evening or whatever. And so one of the couples that also seems to enjoy that, we've invited to be with us tonight, and that's our brother Jeffrey Pitts and our sister Susan Pitts. So, brother Pitts and sister Pitts, Jeff and Susan, we welcome you tonight. We thank you. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing good, my brother Jesse.
Wonderful.
Doing good? All right. Well, I guess I'm going to just start out with a real broad statement, macro statement, simply that, I mean, what is the philosophy or revelation that God has revealed to you all about sex and marriage for Christian folks? I mean, what is it that God has made real in your own relationship?
Okay, Jesse, I'm going to go ahead and start and answer that right there, because I think that's a very powerful question when you're talking about marriage and sex with being Christians and sex in the bedroom. You know, we first look at, you know, how God ordained our bedroom a sanctuary place for husband and wife. And that is another form of us becoming oneness. And when we do that, no matter, you know, how the opposite sex feel, we still have to still be obedient to what God's word tells us to do, is to come together in oneness and in love and in our bedroom.
Amen. So when you come together as one, I mean, I'm with you there. I mean, I mean, as you when you got married, or you guys have been married now, what? Help me out.
6 years.
Six years. I mean, so when you've been married 6 years, as you moved into your marriage, I mean, it was for you all, and I'm just, again, we're just trying to get with a perspective from your perspective. Has sex in marriage for you as believers, was it just a natural? I don't know if that's the right term to use, but, I mean, was it something that you all were able to flow in? And the reason I ask this question, and the reason why we're trying to have this testimony, is that there are brothers and sisters that are married, Christian people, that are struggling with sex. I mean, quite honestly, quite they don't have sex. So what is it that allow you all to receive the blessing in this area?
Well, Jesse, I'm going to go ahead and just, I'm going to keep it real. And also, and I thank the Holy Spirit for putting this in my spirit, for the question that you asked, or the secondary question. Jesse, it's like this. I mean, when I look at my wife, I mean, and just the thought of my wife makes me want to make love to my wife. So God, I thank God every day, and I thank God for my wife every day, as I continue to do on the men's Free Must Pray line, that not only that he's given me a God-fearing woman, but he's given me a woman that is after God's own heart. And that's part of, if she's after his heart, then she's definitely willing to please me sexually. I mean, and if there's anything that we need to talk about, then we communicate about it. But that has always been the case. And, you know, I ain't going to joke. You know, my wife is fine. So I'm 51 years old. And so I love my wife, and I love making my wife happy.
Amen.
You know,
go ahead. Yeah.
You know, for me, Jesse, I have, it's so funny because I've always enjoyed sex, and even when I was not saved, I enjoyed sex. But I tell you what, I had such it was wrong in the times that I was doing it, but when I did become saved and I realized God's word, especially for me to my body, realizing that my body was not mine and that God paid a price for my body, and I had to honor it. And so when I got married and really came to understand that with Jeff, and of course he is just as good looking as he wants to be, so I'm ready for him any time of day. But I really never had a problem with that in that area, and I thank God for it because it is enjoyable. But I think, like Jeff said, once you realize that it is in God's eyes, created in His eyes for us to enjoy sex in our marriage, and that's the key in marriage, that we are to enjoy it because we have that privilege. It just makes it all the better for us, for me especially.
Amen. 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 I see two key words that came out of what you all just shared. One was the word communicate, that, you know how to communicate one to another, because one of the things that we said many months ago when someone asked what would be the most significant skill we needed to first, we talked about walking in the fruit of the Spirit, and then secondly, it came back that even the most important skill necessary and coming to oneness with our spouses is ability to communicate. And so I want you guys to expand upon that a little bit. And then the second piece, Susan, you just mentioned, was privilege. You said that you consider it a privilege. So maybe could you all expound upon that communication piece and that privilege and give us a little bit more, give us more revelation on that one.
Okay, yes. When I say privilege, I mean because, like I said, I've always enjoyed sex, but I was outside of God's will at one time of my life, and I realized that God ordained sex for married people. So now that I'm married, that's what I mean by a privilege, because I know that I have that right to do it in God's eyes, and to me, although it's enjoyable, it really gives me more pleasure knowing that I'm pleasing not just Jeff, but God, because I'm doing it right.
Amen.
The right way.
Praise God. I receive that. I see that. I have that right. All right. So I'm married. I've got a contract. We've learned that as we've gone through this series. I'm to minister to my spouse. I'm to give. I love that. I have that right. Well, my brother, what's your response to that? Since we see that your wife got a right to do what she want to do.
And I thank God for giving her that right, because he gives me the same right. And for my piece, it's communication. Because, even though at some point you could walk inside the home or come home from work or whatever the case may be, everybody's tired, everybody had a very long day. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves going two or three days without making love or without spending time with each other. This is where communication comes in. This is where we decide, hey, honey, it's date night tonight. Okay, whether we got four kids in the house or there's nobody in the house but us. At one point, if there's five rooms, there's one available room at midnight or whatever the case may be. We have to make time, and through that time making, we have to have communication. And that gives us the right to say, well, honey, okay, this is not the right time right now, but I tell you what, here's a note. Meet me in the guest room. Meet me in the shower.
Right.
The kids know if we're taking a shower, we're taking a shower.
Right.
So it's just a matter of communication. And sometimes communication makes love making it's just off the chain, because there again, you're exercising oneness.
Yes, Jesse, and I would like to even expound on what Jeff just said about that communication, because it it does go off into to other things. Now, that communication for me can even go into your lovemaking. A lot of people may not want to talk about this, but communication is very important in as to what you like and don't like. You need to be able to share that with one another, because I believe that's why a lot of people may not enjoy it or may not get any enjoyment out of it, because you don't know. I mean, if Jeff didn't know what I actually like, then, okay, whatever he's doing, he may have some things going on that I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not really enjoying that. So I had to tell him exactly, you know, not to go into detail, but I had to share with him what it is I want him to do and what it is that I enjoy him doing. And then that way he can please me and vice versa with him. Amen. I had to know what it is he enjoys so that I know how to please him.
Amen, amen. Communication is the key. I mean, and you know, that's, you make an excellent point there, because I know I've chatted with folks to where, you know, they feel this thing in their mind that, well, if I indicate that I like something or indicate, make that statement, then they may believe that I'm putting them down or I don't enjoy, you know, what they may be doing. And so you get this convoluted situation where you know what you like, but you're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. So one of the things that we want to get done in this series as well is to encourage people to know that you must learn to be transparent. You got to get to a point to where you love your spouse enough that you are willing to allow them to share with you honestly, you know, what their needs are. And in many ways, one of the things that we need to do, and Jeff and I experienced this one time in a class that we were dealing with, is that spouses must learn to come together. And one of the things, especially today, is to really share. If unfortunately we were in situations to where when we got married and we were not virgins, you need to share, what is your sexual story? What is it? I mean, so if you're willing to share what your sexual story is with your spouse, I mean, whatever that may be, you now got someone that can be praying with you, believing with you, standing with you, or whatever. If there may be some areas in a marriage situation that comes from your past that is affecting your ability to be open, your ability to communicate. You know, maybe in the past you may have had a relationship with someone, either they didn't communicate it or every time they communicated, it wasn't communicating in an edifying manner, it was communicating in a defeating manner. So you need to be open. So many of us, and some of us unfortunately, we've been married more than once, and I know for me that was one of the things that I learned, is that you got to communicate. You got to open up your mouth in love, right? And let them know, hey, I really enjoy that. And you know, you can feel free to do that as often as you would like. And the feedback when given with love, even if it's something that you say, well, gee, I really really didn't do it. And you will know, okay, that's something then maybe that I can just leave out of my repertoire, so to speak, and leave that on the sideline. So did you guys, again, and I'm going to come back to this communication then, was it something that just was natural that, you know, you all figured out from the jump that communication was the key?
No, Jesse, it didn't come natural, because, like, when we first got together and, you know, like I said, we wasn't, you know, in God's will, but once we really truly got into God's will and we got married and everything, and we began to consummate our marriage over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But bottom line was, there were some things that, like you said, that I had experienced, because, you know, basically I've been around the world, and there were certain things that my wife had experienced. But without us saying, hey, look, you know, this is cool with me, this is not cool with me, you just have to accept that. You have to respect. That's where the respect comes back in. That's where the oneness comes in. That's where, like you said earlier, you pray for each other. And God will show you. even if your spouse does not communicate back to you or be transparent, as we can say, because some couples might think that it's too old, you know, I was just buck wild out there. I was hanging on off the rafters. Well, you don't know if you're in Christ. Then the bottom line is, you know, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Love her or him unconditionally. You know, that's what God says, and that's what we have to do. And it's not to condemn each other. We're trying to communicate oneness here, and that's in every area, and especially in the bedroom.
Amen. Amen. Well, when you made that statement, you know, we are supposed to believe, but oftentimes we find it difficult. But, you know, Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ, who live not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. So what happens then is that when we now come together as one sexually, all of those things that may have happened in the past before Christ, and I like the way, you know, Susan mentioned that, sex before Christ and then sex after Christ while married, that's a big difference. I mean, and so when we understand that those things that we may have been involved in, that's not us. I mean, that person no longer exists. And so since that person no longer exists, you know, we just cast that aside. We cast those imaginations down. But what we find out oftentimes in our studies is that people have a challenge, a difficult time in casting down and forgetting about those relationships in the past, those situations in the past, you know, those pains in the past. And so it's always enjoyable, I know, to myself and to Tammy, to have couples able to laugh and joke and talk about, you know, the enjoyment of sex in their marriage. And I always say with people, well, we all grown ups here. Can we be real? You know, I'm ready to leave y'all. I mean, I've been enjoying y'all, but I'm ready to get out of here because I want to go spend some time and get to know my wife tonight. I mean, you know, a lot of folks are not comfortable with that kind of dialogue. But my take is, I'm like you, at the end of the day, no, don't be wrong, I love y'all and all of that, but now it's getting time for me to go spend some time, some personal time with my wife. And so if we are mature Christians, we can understand that, and everybody is fine with that because guess what? They want you to leave anyway so they can take care of their own business. All right? Amen? I mean, so I'm going to ask you all one last question as we transition, and I thank God that, you know, you thank God that you can chat with people openly and joke that we're Christians, that, you know, God did make a thing to say, it's so amazing that we can be open about so many things, yet the very thing that God said, when God first said, you know, in Genesis, when he said, be fruitful and multiply, be fruitful and multiply. You know, so many people, so many times, sometimes even of Christian orientation, believe that sex was simply something that we're supposed to do for procreation, that we're going to make some babies, then that's what we do. Well, my thing, and, you know, we're going to chat about this, is that if that was the case, then why would God have made it in a way to where when you are able to do that, that there is satisfaction involved? I mean, when a man is able to, you know, get to the end of his enjoyment, you know, there is enjoyment. There is a satisfaction that takes place. And those of us that have taken time to really want to minister to the sexual needs of wives, we know and understand that there is a tremendous satisfaction at the conclusion for the wife. If God only wanted that to be the case, I guess my logic mind would say, why would it make it to be something that would be good? Right? I mean, why would that be the case? So it would seem to me the only way that then we as married believers, Christians, are not achieving that is because there's something else that's impacting it. And we have to know and understand that something else may be things even beyond our control. And so those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about. They may be physical things, they may be psychological things, they may be things from the past. But hopefully by virtue of testimonies like yours, that people will be able to know and understand it is indeed possible. So the closing comment that I'd like to hear, maybe both of you share with for a couple of minutes, you know, whatever, a couple of minutes, is that what encouragement would you give that brother and sister who may be experiencing some challenge in the full enjoyment of sex in their Christian marriage?
Well, Jesse, and as you was talking, I was, the Holy Spirit was really working with me on this thing. Number one is, and I'm gonna get to the answer, but I kind of like want to share this. I don't know, Holy Spirit put it in my spirit that when you start talking about communication with one another and being transparent, and we got to look at the fact that, like you said, some have been married more than one. Some have dated a lot of women or men. So when you look at that, it's almost like every person that you was around or you had any type of relationship with, that became a bag. And if you look at that bag, you didn't, no matter when you left or whatever reason, that person left your life or you left their life to move on to something else, you still carried that bag with you. So whether it was an intimate bag, whether it was your feelings were hurt, whether your emotions were stepped on or whatever the case may be, those are bags that we carry. And it was powerful as you spoke about casting down. And as once we become Christians, we have to learn how to cast down our past. And like you said there, again, it ties into not to condemn ourselves or the other person. Now, bringing it up to the point of where we were at now, is that it all revolves back to communication. You just got to talk about and be transparent about whatever it is that you might think that might be hindering Christian couples from achieving oneness. Sometimes the truth hurts. So still, we got to be truthful. We got to be transparent. You know, God says that the truth will make you free. You know, He didn't say it'll set you free. He said it'll make you free. So that ties into oneness in the relationship, oneness in consummating your marriage, oneness in everything that you do. Amen.
Amen, my brother. Yes. Go ahead, my sister.
Jeff and Ben, what I'd like to say too is I agree with Jeff, especially about the part of communicating, because there was a point in my life when I was just shut down, and that was the reason being was because I was sexually abused as a child, and some certain times of my life, where I would feel like Jeff would hurt my feelings, or we would argue or have disagreements, rather, or he would do something that I didn't like, it would cause me to shut down because I was forced. I felt betrayed by him, so to speak. I was shut down because my mind would go back to my past and being betrayed by my predator, and I would shut my whole body down. So Jeff wouldn't understand when I would. He would want to be intimate with me, and I would be like, "No, don't touch me," or what have you. But if I had not have ever talked to him about what was going on with me, he would have been like, "What is going on with this woman? Sometimes she's up and sometimes she's down. What is going on with that?" And not that I didn't want him or desire him, but my body, I would just shut down. I would just shut him off because I didn't want to be touched or anything. But I had to communicate to him what had happened to me in my past so he could understand that. And so I too believe that communication is so, so important, so that you can understand each other and that you will become oneness, and then that will also make you enjoy your sexual relationship even more.
Wow. That's powerful. Well, my sister, I praise God for you sharing that. And I know in my spirit that there is someone that just heard that testimony and that will hear this at other times. And it's going to bring some victory for them. It's going to release them from some situations because something has happened in their lives or before marriage or maybe, who knows, even while they've been married that's holding them in bondage. And so I'm going to pray right now that the words you've just spoken will release someone that's hearing these words right now, that they're going to be set free. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that these words will go out and accomplish, Father, what I know they were designed to accomplish, to set free, Father, someone that's been in bondage, Father. And oftentimes it's been a self-imposed bondage that you have attempted, Father, to set them free even before tonight. But, Father, tonight, because of this transparent testimony, because of our sister's willingness to share, Father, and then to share also, Father, the impact it had on having oneness, Father, that it would cause a separation to take place even in her relationship. That, Father, but by communication, by opening and speaking the word, Father, as you designed, Father, as you prescribed, that, Father, they were able to come together closer, able to come together as one, Father, in Christ. And, Father, we thank you, Father, for her bravery, Father, for her willingness, Father, to share. And I know, Father, set somebody free. We thank you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I know somebody is going to be blessed with that particular word. I believe it so much that as we close, my brothers and sisters, this particular segment, I'd like to close it with what this one piece, and it just came into my spirit that somebody is going to benefit. I don't know why God even dropped it in my spirit that way, but I just know that's what he's going to do, and that's what's going to happen, is that somebody, by virtue of that word right there, they are being set free even right now. And so to encourage them, we're going to end with this song by a good brother that I'm beginning to appreciate more and more. There's one song, and if we could just all simply believe.
I believe in miracles.
could only believe. God has made it possible. That's a powerful testimony. My queen, my wife, I'm going to come to you and ask, what has God placed on your heart in relationship to those testimonies? Or whatever.
Well, Jesse, I first of all just want to say thank you to both Susan and Jeff Pitts. What an awesome testimony that you shared with our listening audience tonight. And I just know, trust, and believe that based on your words of wisdom that you shared, that God will truly bless another couple to receive what you have given to us. And so I just pray many blessings over your life once again for your obedience and being special guests tonight, that God will continue to bless you in this area of your life. And Jesse, I just say to you that based on what I've heard from both Susan and Jeff, that as you and I have talked about with many couples in the past, that communication is key in so many areas of our life. We have to know and understand exactly what our role is in our marriage. And as we began to think about it, one of the number one things that we have to realize as we come together as one in holy matrimony, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 7 and around 3 through 5, where it talks about that our body is not ours, pretty much. It's our spouse's. And it talks about how we should not deny our spouse. And there may be a situation or two that you two come to an agreement where you choose not to be with each other sexually. I understand that. And in the Word, it talks about it's okay. And when you do that, you pray about and you go into prayer on certain things and you allow yourself to be free from sexual relations for a specific period of time that you've agreed on. Otherwise, you should see this as Susan indicated. It is a gift from God that He gives us as married couples. So I thank God for the gift. I thank God that I'm able to enjoy the gift that He has given us. When He gives us a gift, He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to take it and use it for the upbuilding of His kingdom. And in this situation is to reproduce children, to be able to have children. And not only to have children, but we know there are situations where we're not in sexual relations just for children. And I just thank God that I've had the opportunity to understand how important this ministry, and as I know you've stated it, Jeff and Susan both understand that it is a ministry, it's a service one to another, that I'm able and capable to provide this ministry for you personally, Jesse. And I know when God created this, He made it a very good thing for us. And in order for us to receive it as a good thing, we have to know within ourselves that He made it wonderful for both husband and wife. And I know that as we talk about communication, we can't talk about it enough. And as Susan indicated, I say to you, my brothers and sisters, make sure you communicate to your spouse your likes and your dislikes in this area. Everybody is different. And I especially say to you that I have gone through that horrible thing we call divorce, and because you believe in marriage, you've taken that step again, and you've allowed yourself to be in a position where you have a new wife, where you are remarried. And I say to you, leave your past behind you. Your wife is yet a different person. She may not like the same things your first wife liked. So make sure you understand through communication what it is that you can do to please your wife. There's nothing better in this world to be able to please somebody whom you love dearly. And we know in this situation that God allowed us to come together in love. It was founded on love, our marriage. And so I thank God for that. And because of that, He allows us to be able to want to do for others in a manner in which, especially our wives or our spouse, that our husbands, that we want to do for them because we want to treat their bodies as our own bodies. So we only want to love our bodies, and we want to do everything pleasing to our bodies. That's the mindset we have to have as we go into this. And when you feel that there's some challenge situations that come about in your life, cast those strongholds down. Cast those imaginations down immediately so it doesn't come between your marriage, and especially in the bedroom. And I know, even as Jeff has indicated, our lives are so busy nowadays that we truly have to set a date sometimes in our own homes to be able to meet up with our spouse, to be able to say, I need you tonight, and hopefully and prayerfully that your spouse will respond. I recall many situations when I may be upstairs and Jesse may be downstairs working, and I might be dealing with the children with homework or whatever at the end of the day, and he will politely either call or send me a text and say, we have a date night at 10 o'clock p.m., I'm looking forward to being with you at that particular moment. And at that moment, I know what it is. I can read between the lines as well as you. And so I try to, as often as I can, I'm obedient, and I meet him at the place that has been designed for us to meet to have our date night. And so I encourage you to get creative in this area. Don't let it go by the wayside, because this is the glue in what keeps part of what keeps your marriage together, that allows you to have that oneness that God so desires for you to have. And I encourage you that each day you come against anything that might try to come against that area of your life, and you declare and decree it, that no weapon that tries to form against my marriage and this and our sexual relations will prosper. And you call that thing out. And you know your power that's within you that God has given you. So I encourage all of you to understand and know what God has for you is for you. And allow God to bless you in this area, because it is an area, trust me, that he wants you to be blessed. And I just want to say real quick, I know, even as Jesse indicated, you know, there are things that we have to do in terms of studying to show ourselves approved. And I know, even as he shared, as we first started the radio blog this evening, as he shared what he went through over the last year, and I thank God that he's so in tune to his body. He's so in tune to, you know, knowing that as we keep moving up in age, that our bodies are going to change, and there's some things we do have to do different. But I know that we all do various studies throughout, you know, our lives on things that we want to learn a little bit more about. And even as we embarked on this subject, that is a very important subject for all of us. And even as I was studying and trying to prepare myself for tonight, I thank God that I even came across a study that was done where specific individual couples, married couples, not just Christian couples, but married couples, were interviewed. And in that study, they found that most couples, on an average, are having sexual relations 58 times a year, and that equates to a little more than once a week. And to me, for the average couple, that may be okay, but for a Christian marriage, a Christian married couple that you are together, you understand and know God's word, how God made that so special, how he made that for you to come together in oneness where nobody else ever shares that with you other than your spouse. So that should be something that you are so excited about. The minute you see your spouse, you know, in my mind, the first thing I'm thinking is, I look forward for that next opportunity that I get to have that handsome man right there, right beside me, in bed with me. And I thank God that that is on the forefront of my mind, because God made it such a good thing. And I thank God that we're not in that statistic, because we surely do it way more than once a week. And I thank God for that, because I know a lot of individuals don't. But if you don't, I encourage you, we as Christians, couples, married couples, should be doing it as often as our heart desires, because as Susan and Jeff said, it is a privilege that God has given us because we have united as one. And so I thank God again for the testimony I personally heard from that wonderful couple, Mr. and Mrs. Pitts. And I just want to pray God's blessing over everyone under the sound of my voice, that God will bless you as well in your in your future endeavors in this area. And I say to you, if you don't have it now, you can have it. You can have that same joy and excitement that you heard in the Pitt's voice. You might hear, I'm sure, in mine. And I know that through Jesse's vocal cords, you will hear it in his, that it is something that God has put together and allowed us to enjoy. So I encourage all of you to release, let go, and let God show you and teach you how to be able to have a wonderful life together in this area. May God bless you. I love you. And we will continue to pray God's blessings over your life in this area. Never be ashamed to talk about something good and great that God created. And let's go forward and continue to study and learn more about what he desires for you to have here in this area as you continue to just grab a hold of Genesis 2:24, declare it over your life, and you continue to live your life and in oneness as husband and wife. And I know God is going to show up and show out simply because you took time out of your busy day to be here to hear what thus said unto the Lord, unto Jesse's voice as he goes through his study on tonight. I love you, and I thank God for each and every one of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, amen, amen. What else can a brother say after that powerful word there? We praise God for my wife, and we praise God for the words of wisdom that were shared. Well, my brothers and sisters, in the time we have left, it's appropriate that we really lay the foundation for this study. We started out tonight with a little testimony on at least the background that God led us to, and then also the number of couples that he brought to us that were expressing concern in this particular area. So for the next series that we're going to go through, we're going to deal with the spiritual nature of sex and marriage, the mental aspect of sex and marriage based on experiential testimony, the physical, conditional, and the impact on sex and marriage, and what are deliverance strategies for sex and marriage. And all of this is based on Christian marriage. And our goal will continue to be the pursuit of oneness in marriage based on Genesis 2:24, enabled with a maturity that's associated with the fruit of the Spirit contained, described, and revealed in Galatians 5:22-23. Now, as we move through this particular series, there are some assumptions that we have made as we move into a deeper study on sex and marriage. Now, you as a listener, we are assuming that you represent one of the following conditions. You are a virgin and want to know how to keep you free from the bondage associated with sex before marriage, or you desire to enter a period of celibacy after a period of promiscuity before Christ, or you are married and you want to enjoy the fullness of this particular blessing available to Christians, and maybe even before you have gone through a period of dry season and you have not been enjoying the blessing that God has made available to you. Whichever one of those, we like to chat a little bit about then in these last few moments, the latest foundation for the continuing series. Well, why did God create sexual activity as the enabler for procreation in marriage relationships? You have some believe that sex primarily should be the means by which you simply procreate, that when God said be fruitful and multiply, that it had nothing to do with any kind of pleasurable reality. Now, I don't find that anywhere in the Bible that it says that, but that is an interpretation that many have, that really, you know, it should be something that you do just to produce children. And again, I find that nowhere in Scripture. Now, we do find that when we research and look at creation, is that creation denotes happiness and satisfaction. And in Genesis 1, God instructed and declared that man, Adam, would be fruitful and multiply. And analyzing the possible pleasurable results associated with the sexual act, during the process, with procreation, one can conclude God wanted married couples to enjoy the procedure associated with procreation. Let me say it again. It would appear, just based on logic and common sense, that and the fact that what's required in order for procreation to take place, we know, at least if we looked at it even selfishly from a male perspective, that there is a process of enjoyment that takes place when that particular seed is planted that creates life in the first place. I mean, how can you get around that? I mean, every man that's ever experienced the end result of planting the seed necessary for birth has enjoyed that particular ending result. I've never heard a man say yet that when that ending result took place, that it was not a pleasurable experience. So we have to then say that also, given the way the woman is built and the fact that a woman also is capable of achieving orgasm, that it must have been something that was created that God knew would have an element of pleasure. So some even would attempt to say that comments that we read about Jesus and about Paul would with some kind of way indicate that they were against the pleasure one can gain from sex in marriage. I find that, again, very difficult to believe, and I think sometimes those particular scripture, the two in regard, are taken way out of context. When we think about Genesis 2:24, some scholars even say they have a hard time believing that people can see how that denotes oneness when you begin to look at what cleaving means. Well, when you look at the definition of cleave, cleave means to split, to make something split, especially along a plane of natural weakness, or to cut a path through something and to make a way through something. It also means to penetrate something or to penetrate or pierce something deep or dense. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about cleaving in that regard, and I think about marriage, and I think about procreation, and I think about sex, to me, I can't see anything that has a greater definition of how something cleaves and becomes one than that. In order for the sexual act to take place, there's something that had to have been split. There's something that had to cut along a plane of natural weakness, you know, that would appear to be weak if we think in terms of structure inside a woman. There had to be something that is penetrated in order for the seed to be planted. If we even think about it from a natural perspective, if a farmer was going to go out and plant a seed in the ground, he has to split, or he has to put his shovel, or he has to put some kind of instrument down into the ground so that natural plane that we may call the surface has been broken. And when that plane is broken, then he's able to penetrate and he's able to plant seed in that ground. Well, again, even when we think about procreation between a man and a wife, a man that must be able to penetrate, must be able to go through that natural plane and path of weakness that God provided, and would be able then to plant the seed necessary for procreation. So in my just common mind, to me, I can't think of something that denotes anything greater than coming together as one than the very act of sex itself. I can't think of anything greater than that, that would allow two people to be able to come together where the man can actually penetrate and actually be inside of the woman. What else could be more cleaving than that? So I find it very difficult when you research sometime where so-called theologians would have a hard time seeing how it denotes oneness. And I pray that God might continue to give me revelation on how to understand and how to present and how to share that. But in my common thinking, it seems to me the very act of sex is a cleaving procedure and provides the physical evidence of how a man cleaves to his wife. I mean, and think about when that same scripture says, let no man put asunder. When you think about that, asunder means to put in pieces or to put in halves or in two. It means to cause something to open or something to come apart. Well, again, that would tell me when you come together as one and you're in that cleaving relationship and you're cleaving, and especially when you think about the only natural way, the only way that we read about in Scripture that God ordained that to be fruitful and multiply would take place, it had to be in a cleaving exercise of sexual intercourse. And when we think about how then that the seed is deposited, once again, it is a pleasurable experience. You know, one may ask the question then, why would God make sex so enjoyable and we find ourselves not pleased with sex in our marriage? And when you look at the data, and Tammy mentioned some things, and you look at the number of people that are not enjoying sex and are married, we learn and understand why. Like many we read about in the Bible, we encounter sex before Christ and before marriage and before God's plan for us was recognized and received. And oftentimes that experience may have been negative. And during these coming weeks, we're going to deal with a lot of that. Our mindset regarding sex may have been adversely affected by sexual encounters that we initiated or where others may have exploited us. That can have an impact on how we look at sex today. In short, something in our previous experience base prevents us from enjoying sex, and we fail to identify what that may be since our reality is internally viewed. Since we see the world from our own lens, oftentimes we may not even understand that we are moving in bondage in a particular situation. Now, the Bible speaks to these possibilities. Some may include incest by both fathers and biological fathers, and stepmothers and biological mothers. Many may be abuse situations with other family members, with other friends, with whatever. And many of these are kept secret, and many drive the failure that we see in the sex lives of Christians after they are married. And if you had an opportunity to listen to Sister Susan earlier, you will see that even when those things happen, you know, God can still make a way out. Now, we are also dealing with what sets the tone necessary to achieve and realize satisfaction in the area of sex in marriage. Well, we got to, first of all, receive the grace and receive the forgiveness that God makes available to us when we come to Christ. And then to know and understand that there's no condemnation in Christ. Once we come, once we are that new creation, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so we then establish a new value system where previous sexual involvement before marriage and the discovery of God's love applied against all the sins of the past that did so easily beset us. And we must be able to receive and accept the gift of grace. Now, we know that we may ask ourselves, have we really been set free from the bondage of the past and that prevents us from achieving oneness in our physical relationship in marriage? We're going to talk about as we move through these weeks that, yes, guilt and shame can indeed affect our mindset and our ability to enjoy sex in marriage. That if we're suffering and thinking about shame and guilt of the past and we have not allowed God to forgive us, that can indeed have an effect on our ability to enjoy sex. You know, should our physical focus include the achievement of sexual satisfaction in the marital relationship? Well, there's no doubt that oftentimes men are definitely affected by physicality, right? It does, and it could have an effect. But also at the same time, bilaterally, we all need to make sure we do everything possible not to be offensive to our mates. We need to take care of our body odors. There are some things that we need to do hygienically to make sure that we are appealing, that we are smelling. All of those things necessary. Some may say, should sexual enjoyment be an enjoyable aspect of the Christian marriage? Absolutely. Sex, the pleasurable realities you receive were invented by God, created by God, and we are created in his image. Why would something like that occur if God didn't want it to be so? If you enjoy it, God provided the gift. What is the role of desire in our enjoyment of sex in marriage? The word again said that God gives us the desires of our hearts. If we are Christians believing in God, resting in God, and we have a desire to be pleased sexually, then we must believe that as the word say, God said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, we understand that what things soever we meditate on, then those things will become successful in our lives. We will begin to have prosperity in those particular areas. These are some of the things that we're going to explore in further detail next week and as we go through this particular series. And we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. If we can get it all done in the next three sessions, we will. If God reveals that, hey, you need to take a little bit more time on this particular one, based on your feedback, we will. Tonight was simply designed to set the foundation, to give you an idea of what all of us must go through, to have a testimony by someone that has experienced what God can do in this particular area, and to then allow Tammy to share from a woman's perspective, the fact that God indeed made it a bilateral, pleasurable reality. And as we prepare to close tonight, we want to remind you that next week we're going to look at what about the experiences that we've had in our lives and their impact mentally on how we see sex as Christians in marriage. We hope that you will join us at that time. Father, we pray and we thank you that the words that have gone forth tonight, we know it's been kind of fast-paced, Father, but we pray that those that heard your word, Father, may receive it, that a seed may be planted in their hearts and their spirits may desire, Father, to grow and to be more like you, that they may come to understand that, Father, you made sex, you created it, Father, and that you put our bodies in such a way that there is an element of enjoyment associated with that reality. And so, Father, we thank you in advance that they shall receive the full manifestation, Father, of what that is all about. And we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Father. Oh, we give you honor because you are the great I am. And, Father, we ask you to be with them as we come again, as we go out, as we come in, until we come together next week, Father. We simply say thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. We'll be right back next week. Join us at that time for part two, the mental aspect of sex in marriage based on exponential testimony. In Jesus' name. Go on.
Something's happening to me.